to this week's edition of Empowered by the Spirit on Immaculate Heart Radio, hosted by Deacon Steve Greco of Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry. For the next hour, join Deacon Steve and his guests as they share their testimonies, love of their Catholic faith, and the importance of the Holy Spirit in all our lives. Now, here's Deacon Steve.
Hello, everyone. We're back on Empowered by the Spirit. This is Deacon Steve Greco. And it's great to have my lovely bride back again, Marianne Greco. Welcome back.
Thank you, Steve.
And God is healing you. Amen.
Yes.
And Catherine Emily Hughes, evangelist and important member along with Marianne on Spirit-Filled Hearts. Welcome back, Katie.
Thank you.
Well, we're going to talk about a subject that perhaps you don't hear that much about, and that is Thy Kingdom Come. How can we get the Lord's kingdom on earth? Because that's what we're promised. Jesus instructed us to pray, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Thy will be done on earth, thy kingdom come. Marianne, I know you've taught on this a lot. What does it mean, thy kingdom come?
Well, when we say those words, we're asking that God's kingdom come here on earth, not this earthly kingdom, but that we have a piece of God's kingdom. It's also saying that we want God as our king. And that's a pretty profound thing. That's saying, may he rule over us.
So it really necessitates surrender.
Yes.
It really necessitates making Jesus Lord. And my brothers and sisters, we're empowered by the Spirit. We're talking about how to live that Spirit-filled life, how to live that Christian life, how to live that life in which you have, as it says in John 10:10, you live life and life abundantly. It's so important to understand that heaven is certainly going to be fantastic, but we can have a taste of heaven on earth when we turn our life over to Jesus. Matthew 6:10. Those simple words of the Our Father in which we're called to have thy kingdom come on earth. And what's it say in Isaiah 55:8, Marianne? You know this scripture well. We know that your ways are not God's ways and our thoughts not God's thoughts. As high as the heaven of the earth are God's ways above our ways. And again, it's so important to understand the fact that Jesus wants us to have this radical difference in our life. As you mentioned, Marianne, that we're asking Jesus into our life. We're submitting everything that we have, Katie, to God, in which we surrender our heart, our soul, our mind. We give him our thoughts, our fears, our doubts, our dreams, our challenges, our problems. Jesus occupies every part of our life. Is that a prerequisite to have thy kingdom come on earth?
I think so. I mean, for you to see that kingdom of God on earth, I think you have to have that veil removed from your eyes, that spiritual veil, where you can see his kingdom, and that requires that surrender.
We're not really familiar with, in the United States, of having a king over us, and so sometimes I think it's very difficult for us to understand. But there was, when they have a king, part of the deal was that the king was also the protector of the people in his kingdom. And so if we think of it that way, it's that when we turn ourselves over and make the Lord our king, we're asking him also to protect us.
Amen, amen. We're on Empowered by the Spirit here at Christ Cathedral in the Orange Diocese, and we're talking about thy kingdom come and really living that Spirit-filled life. When you're in God's kingdom, not just in heaven, but on earth, there's wonderful things that happen. And we're going to go through the word kingdom to talk about those wonderful things. Call your friends, your neighbors, have them tune in the show. Fasten your seatbelt. This is another exciting show as we talk about how much God loves us. The K stands for something that I like to do anyway, and that's be a kid. The K stands for kids. Now, how does that relate, Marianne, to thy kingdom of God? Because we're called to be king's kids.
Right, like kids of the kingdom. There's a song that says that, and And it's really kind of exciting to realize that we're in relationship with the King.
Amen. We're King's kids. And we see this in Romans 8, 14 to 16. Get out your Bibles again. Get to know Scripture. Let it imbibe you and fill your heart. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. You have received a spirit of adoption through which we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if only we suffer with him, that we may be glorified with him. Katie, you are a child of God. Why is that important?
It's nice to know you belong somewhere. It's nice to know you belong to God, our Father, that you are protected, that you are holy, and you are set apart to partake in his holy kingdom here on earth and to join him in heaven one day.
You know, one of the things that strikes me is we were really created for God's kingdom. We were not created for this world. We're visitors on this earth right now. But the completeness of us really is when we belong in the kingdom of God. So we need to keep remembering that as children of God, that this is this world, this earthly planet, this is just a stopover till we go into the kingdom of God, that's really where we're, that's our purpose, what we're made for.
Amen, 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 amen. I am so excited to talk about thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. It's so important as we relate to where we are right now and what we need to be doing to really talk about the fact that we are King's kids. Ephesians 1, 3 to 8 says, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessings in the heavens, as he chose us before the foundation of the world to be what? Chose us before the foundation of the world to be holy, to be without blemish. In love, he destined us for adoption to himself through Jesus Christ, in accord with the favor of his will, for the praise of the glory of his grace he granted us in the beloved. In him we have redemption by his blood, the forgiveness of transgressions in accord with the riches of his grace that he lavished on us in all wisdom and insight. So he chose us before the foundation of the world to be his children. To be holy. And that means you, my brothers and sisters. That means you. He chose you to be holy. He chose you to be without blemish. He chose you to be the kingdom of God. You know, so many people don't feel wanted, Katie. They feel so all alone. Perhaps they're in a divorce, and my brothers and sisters, perhaps that's what you're going through right now. You've been abandoned by a spouse. Or you're living all alone and you feel totally unwanted. When we realize that we are the child of God, we're wanted. We feel part of God's kingdom, part of his love, that Jesus desires us. Mother Teresa said on her inner conversion within the conversion when she was on the train in India, she saw the image of Jesus that said, I thirst for souls. Jesus wants us, is thirsting for us. I believe that's why that beatitude, my favorite beatitude, blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness. He's thirsting for us. How important is that, Katie, as it relates to really feeling part of being God's in part of being in God's kingdom and being his children?
Well, I think we're created, and God created us in a unique and special way compared to any other creature, and he designed us to love and to be loved, and God is love. And so we're not perfect beings, and we don't have perfect lives, and so we have to think that there's a void. We have an ability. We need to fill that hole, and Jesus wants to fill that hole in us, and God has given us that desire for the love. And so it's really important when you feel that love for something that it's Jesus that you fill it with, and know that's your completeness, and that is entering the kingdom of God is Jesus in your heart.
And Marianne, you grew up not as a Catholic, but there were certain things that were real blessings for you in terms of nighttime prayers. What was that nighttime prayer that you have? Do you remember that you always felt loved?
I think it was more the song I sang.
Yeah, well, yeah, what's the song?
The Jesus Loves Me song.
Yeah,
is that what you're referring to?
Yeah, what is that song?
Jesus Loves Me, This I Know, For the Bible Tells Me So. Little ones to Him belong. They are weak, but He is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. And then it says, Jesus loves me when I'm good, when I do the things I should. Jesus loves me when I'm bad, but though it makes him very sad. And then just Jesus loves me. And I always knew that Jesus loves me. That was a real gift that I sang that song when my grandmother played the piano. But that it was in my heart that Jesus loves me. I'm part of the family.
Katie? We're clapping.
Yay.
It's so impressive. It's amazing that she remembered that, right?
You know, it's scripture. It's a thing that was put into me as a child that was a gift of grace that God gave me, that always knew that Jesus loves me no matter what. And boy, if we can impart that to our members of our family and to our loved ones, what a gift to know that you're God's child and He loves you.
Amen, amen. We're talking about Thy Kingdom Come, living a life of abundance, a life of joy, a life of excitement in Jesus. Yes, you are meant to do that on earth as well as in heaven. We're talking about the word kingdom and how we can apply that in our lives. We will be right back to learn more about living this life of Jesus' love in our hearts. Deacon Steve Greco. We're back on Empowered by the Spirit with Marianne Greco and Katie Hughes. We're talking about Thy Kingdom Come, that famous verse of Scripture and the Lord's Prayer, Thy Kingdom Come on earth as it is in heaven. We're going through the word kingdom. The K stands for kids being part of God's kingdom by being His King's kids, by being His children as promised in Scripture. The I in kingdom stands for instruction. We have been given instruction from the Lord, that Matthew 28:19-20, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. You know, Marianne, it's so exciting when we are living the Word of God, living our catechism, living our Catholic faith, then the love of Jesus just bubbles up in us, and we want to share our faith with wherever we are, co-workers, family, friends. I keep kidding about why we're never invited to parties, honey, because we keep spreading the word of God in those parties. But no, seriously, wherever we are, I mean, Jesus has given us those instructions. And if you think about it, when we're spreading the good news of Jesus Christ, what's happening is that we're bringing God's kingdom here on earth.
Right, and I think that, you know, don't you want to know what the kingdom is about, too? Don't you want to share, like, look at the King, look at my King, who He is, and what He does for me, and we want to share that with others. We want to bring that. We want to make it more on this earth so people can see it. If we share and kind of help them open their eyes to see, then they too can partake in the kingdom of God.
So what is the good news? Let's take a look at some scriptures. Get out your Bibles. We're on Empowered by the Spirit. This is Deacon Steve Greco broadcasting from Christ Cathedral. John 3:16. Get your Bible out and underline this verse. You see it at football games. You see it on posters. What is actually it means? For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that everyone who believes in Him will have eternal life. What's that mean to you, Katie? Everyone who believes in Him will have eternal life.
It's a promise. It's a covenant. It's something that will happen. So I think you can't fake it. So you really... you have to understand He's very clear that you must truly believe. And that's not just saying the words. It's not just doing actions. He cares more about your soul. He cares more about actually having all of you. And that's the key. And it's you always talk about from jumping from the head to the heart, and that trip is distant in a lot of minds, and we can talk about it and we can go to church and everything else. But if we belong to Him, but we must surrender our hearts to Him.
You know, I like the word everyone too, Steve. I think that says that everyone who believes, it's not just some of you who believe. You know, God wants us all to be part of His kingdom, and He wants everyone to believe. It's the sinner, it's, you know, anyone who believes. You know, you're not excluded if you believe.
And I love the first part of it. For God so loved the world.
Yeah.
And translate that, my brothers and sisters, into, for God so loved me. God so loved me. God so loved, and then put your name into it. God so loved Jim. God so loved Michael. God so loved Katie. God so loved Marianne. God so loved Steve.
And if you were the only person on this world, or the, you know, you were the last person, He loved you. He died for you. Not just a general population, but no matter what, He loves you so much.
You know, my heart leaps for joy when we talk about this. I get so excited. I mean, to me, this is kingdom on earth, because I'm just spreading the good news of Jesus Christ, giving the good news as seen in 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord does not delay His promise, not wishing that any one should perish, but all shall come to repentance. And 1 Timothy 2:4, who wills everyone to be saved and to come to knowledge of the truth. People live in so much fear, and they live in so much just anticipation of gloom and doom, that they don't understand the fact that Jesus wants you to be saved, wants you to be in the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven, because He loves us so much. He wants what's best for us.
You know, Steve, this is kind of a silly analogy, but I think of when we go to Disneyland and we have the Magic Kingdom, and when we have a good experience in it, we want to share it with others, and we want to say, oh, you should go on this ride, this is really fun, or we want to tell them how, or we help people with directions, how to get here from here. And, you know, that's what God wants us to do in His kingdom on earth. He wants us to share the good rides. You know, He wants us to share the good time, His love. He wants us to help people navigate through His kingdom.
I'm thinking of, where is our kingdom on earth? And I think of the Mass and the prayers of the Eucharist. And when we lift up our hearts, we lift up our voices, we are entering into the kingdom of heaven, that banquet. And we certainly are entering that during Mass. And for those of you who are, you know, liturgical, just know that it's scriptural too. It's in Revelation. And it talks about the robes. It talks about the bowing, the genuflecting. It's honoring God. You are truly, the saints are there, the angels are there, and holy, 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 and all the angels are singing, and they're singing with you, and you're in a full church, even though there may be eight of you at daily Mass. The church is filled with heaven. And so just know that too. You are participating in a heavenly banquet, and you are part of heaven, and it is on earth. And it's a surreal, amazing place that's hard to, I think, for people who don't experience it with their heart, it's hard to understand. But, you know, you are in the presence of God, and you are in heaven.
And also in the sacraments in general, in baptism, we are told and actually anointed with the oil of sacred chrism to be priest, prophet, and king. So we're basically part of God's kingdom, right? Mm-hmm. To be that priest, prophet, and king. But we're also asked to be His evangelists, right? To spread the good news of Jesus Christ, and to be a priest, which essentially comes down to serving other people. And that gets into our next letter in the word kingdom. And the N stands for neighbor. And we know the famous verses in Matthew 25, 31 to 40. Get out your Bible. When the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the angels with Him, He will sit upon His glorious throne, and all the nations will be assembled before Him. And He will separate them one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will place the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. A stranger, and you welcomed me. Naked, and you clothed me. Ill, and you took care of me. In prison, you visited me. Then the righteous will answer and say, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you? Or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you in prison and visit you? And the kingdom will say to them in reply, amen, I say to you, whatever you did for one of these least brothers of mine, you did for me. Marianne, we are meant to be neighbors, good stewards, good Samaritans.
You know, we're all in this kingdom of God together. And going back to that, we're kids of the kingdom. We're all united. We're all children of God. And so we need to take, as you would take care of family, we need to look at our neighbors and the people around us as our brothers and sisters. We're all children of God. And I think we need to approach everyone with that dignity, to give them that I may not know you, but you're another child of God.
I often say, if you want to assure yourself having a great day, then help someone else have a great day. If you want to ensure the fact that God is there in your heart and that you're feeling the joy of the Lord and feeling his presence, then find a way of feeding the poor. Find a way of serving their needs. And when we say poor, and Mother Teresa talks about this all the time, it's not just poor as it relates to material things, but it's also poor in spirit, Katie. It's also people that are in need of finding out the truth about Jesus Christ, that he loves them, he's forgiven them, he died on the cross for them.
I think we can tell people Jesus loves them till we're blue in the face. But we need to act on that too. If we are believers in that, we must be Jesus to others. And I know Mother Teresa was talking about that. The person you are with at a moment, the person you see walking down the street, you are with them, and in any way, you can be Jesus to them. I don't think it's fair to tell someone Jesus loves them and then not be there when it counts. Not be there when they're in need and they need something, when they come to you and ask. Jesus said, knock and the door shall be opened. Well, people are knocking on our doors and we must be Jesus to them.
Amen. We must love them unconditionally.
You know, I was just thinking that these are children that they're part of our family, and we're going to be with those people forever in heaven.
Amen. Well, we certainly hope you're enjoying this program. The program's a collaboration between the Sower Ministry and our ministry, Spirit-Filled Hearts. We know that the Holy Spirit has prompted you to call in. We know that the Holy Spirit is guiding you to be filled with the love of Jesus. But we'd also love to hear from you. Let us know your thoughts, how we can meet your needs in the future. Contact me by email at deaconsteve@spiritfilledhearts.org. That's deaconsteve@spiritfilledhearts.org. Also on spiritfilledhearts.org, visit our website. Anything we can do to help you, we want to be with you, to serve your needs. We want to pray with you. God bless you. We'll be right back after we take a short break. This is Deacon Steve Greco. We're back on Empowered by the Spirit with Marianne Greco and Katie Hughes. And we're talking about Thy Kingdom Come, that very famous verse of our Lord's Prayer, of Thy Kingdom Come on Earth as it is in Heaven. And we've talked about, how do we put God's kingdom now on earth? How do we get filled with the Holy Spirit, be excited and joyful? And we're using the word kingdom, and the first part of that is understanding we're children of God. My brothers and sisters, when we understand that we're children of God, then we are excited about today and the future, because we know we're going to be with God forever in God's kingdom. And the I stands for instruction. The important thing is that God gives us the instruction on how we are to live our life. And a big part of that is spreading the good news, to let other people know that they're loved. That's one of the most important things of our ministry at Spirit-Filled Hearts. Our ministry as being Catholics is to let other people know that Jesus died on the cross for them, rose from the dead, forgave their sins, and that they are loved unconditionally. Romans 8:1, there's no condemnation in Christ Jesus. The N stands for neighbor, in understanding the fact that our neighbors need to know this truth about how much they're loved, but they also need to be fed materially in terms of their eating and thirsting and clothing and everything else. They need to be nourished in that way and nourished spiritually, to spend the day focused on how can I make someone else have a great day. And then as we went on, or actually as we're going on now, the G now in kingdom stands for good attitude. And what's good attitude remind you of in Scripture? Is it remind of be good attitude?
Be attitude?
So. Be attitude! Yay!
Is that where you're
All right,
going,
here
Steve?
We go. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Good attitude is be attitude. Be attitude. And what is the Beatitudes? Katie, give me the first one. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. And God showed me what it means to be poor in spirit when we had that kind of voice in my ear at the Church of the Miraculous Medal on Rudebach Street in Paris, when I felt God saying to me that I give you the gift of poverty. And what's that really mean? That means that he takes away anything that we're putting above him. Blessing the poor of spirit means that we really have one focus, and the focus is on Jesus. The next beatitude.
Blessed are those
who mourn. Oh, good, good. For they will be comforted. What's that mean to you?
Not sure how that one...
In terms of be right attitude, it basically means that we have to let people who are hurting know that they're loved. Marianne?
Well, I think blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are those who, you know, have feelings. Who we have those feelings and hurts, but they will be comforted. And so, you know, it's okay to have these down points, but we will be comforted by the Lord or others he has sent.
I also think that we're in great company when we do mourn. You mm-hmm. think of Jesus on the cross. You think of the Blessed Mother mourning her son. You think of the disciples losing Jesus and being afraid and not knowing where he was and dying on the cross. And what was this all about, and mourning his death? So we are very close to Jesus when we are drawn to him in our times of mourning.
Those are the times that the Lord can love us and come to us even more. Yeah.
And how he brings people to us, as he's been doing, and mm-hmm. people giving us meals and all kinds of things when we're hurting right now in terms of what's going on physically with you, Marianne. Mm-hmm. So we understand that the Beatitudes, which are found in Matthew 5, again, 3 through 10, are so critical in having God's kingdom here on earth. I mean, that's why Jesus talked to us about them. You know, if you're going to have this joy, if you're going to have the love of Jesus, we need to live out these and understand what they are. And the next one is, blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Now, at the time of Jesus, boy, if you had a landowner, you know, that was the greatest thing in the world. But what's it mean to be meek, Katie?
I think it means, at least from my interpretation and in reading, to be meek means you're humble in what you have. You know what is your future. You know you are saved. You know Jesus loves you. You are part of this kingdom of heaven. But you do not have that attitude of pride. Instead, it's more of you're at peace. You're able to... be humble in your life and have humility, despite knowing you have the kingdom of heaven at your doorstep.
Someone once described it as, you are the limo driver in that limo. You're not being driven. And it's that humility of understanding the fact that you put others first. And certainly, you know, we see that in Philippians, Marianne. And what are your thoughts on meekness?
I see meekness as really kind of a strong attitude in a sense. It's not taking on pride like I deserve this or I'm entitled to this, but it's really seen in establishing who is Lord of your life, that God is the Lord of the kingdom. And the meekness is saying, you know, recognizing who you are and accepting it and accepting that God is Lord of your life.
We see this in Philippians 2nd. In chapter 2, verse 3, do nothing out of selfishness or out of vainglory. Rather, humbly regard others as more important than yourself. And verse 4, each looking out not for his own interests, but for everyone else's interests. And so, again, when you are meek, you put others first above you. The fourth beatitude I talk about all the time, blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. When you hunger and thirst for God's will, then you have God's kingdom on earth.
He wants us to know his will. He's certainly going to answer that one.
The fifth beatitude, Katie.
Blessed are those who are merciful.
Oh, now, nice. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. What's that mean in terms of thy kingdom come?
Well, geez, Jesus was most merciful and took pity on us. And he takes pity on us now. And his greatest mercy, you know, God's greatest mercy was the creation of man from his love. And then beyond that, the mercy of saving us from ourselves and our sin by giving us Jesus and dying on the cross. So that is mercy, dying to yourself and loving people despite their faults, being there for people and trying to understand them, being compassionate and loving them no matter what. That unconditional love is mercy. And you may want to judge people because of their behaviors in their past and say, well, they deserve that. But look at yourself, too. God was mercy on you when you had a sinful life. We all find Jesus in different times in our life. And he wants us to be merciful. He wants us to help people along the road to him. And we can be a vessel. We can be part of the path that someone is on to Jesus. And so showing that mercy, showing the love of Jesus, will bring them closer to Jesus, maybe even faster, because you are an instrument rather than a roadblock.
It's so important, my brothers and sisters, to be forgiving, to be merciful. And enough is enough. There are people that you still have a hardened heart toward, people in your family, people that work, perhaps an ex-boss, whoever it might be, people who have hurt you. But when you're merciful towards them, then you'll receive God's love in a much deeper way because you'll be open to it.
I see it as giving people dignity and respect that they too are a child of God and that they too deserve God's mercy as much as you do.
You know, people live in just paralysis because of the hatred that they have for other people. People have hurt them, and, you know, I saw it recently in a prayer meeting when, you know, someone had a horrible thing done to their child, horrible thing. And they basically came up to me, and before they sat down, they said, you know, I want to buy a gun and kill the people that did that. And from a humanist, I can understand that. But the reality is that we are called to be forgiving. We're called unconditionally to love and forgive. So let's go on. Blessed are the clean of heart, for they will see God. The clean of heart is really that one heartness in which we put God first in everything that we have. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Are you a peacemaker in your family? Are you doing what it takes to really bring people together? And finally, blessed are they who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Perhaps you feel that you have been under attack for proclaiming your faith or being persecuted for just who you are. The importance of turning the other cheek is really critical in thy kingdom come, Marianne. And I think you've taught on that, right, in terms of what it means to turn the other cheek. You know, why is it that Jesus said, you know, when you get someone does something to you, you know, obviously turn the other cheek? And it basically means that at the time of Jesus, you know, striking someone in the face was one of the horrible things that you could do in terms of insulting them. And by turning the other cheek, you're basically allowing God's forgiveness and goodness to flow through your heart.
And I think it's allowing God's love to love them despite how they treat you. I mean, Jesus on the cross still had love for, you know, people around him.
It's very important to understand God's kingdom here on earth. We're on Empowered by the Spirit. We're going to take a short break, and we'll finish up with three important points on bringing God's love and bringing God's vitality and life changing attitude in terms of our hearts and minds and souls. We'll be right back. Hi, everyone. This is Deacon Steve Greco with Marianne Greco and Katie Hughes, and we're back on Thy Kingdom Come, and we're talking about the various steps of God's kingdom. We've talked about using the word kingdom, understanding that we're children of God. And when we understand that, we just feel the love of Jesus, and we just get so excited. We've then moved into the I, and we're talking about the instruction that Jesus has given us to be evangelists, to spread the good news of Jesus Christ. The N stands for neighbors, that we're called in Matthew 25 to feed the poor, to really be there for them spiritually, mentally, and emotionally, and to help their physical needs. Now we're into the D, and the D stands for disciples. And what's it mean to be a disciple, Marianne?
To be a disciple is to be a follower. They were followers of the teachings of Christ, to be a disciple. And so to be a disciple in the kingdom would be to be a follower of the King.
Amen. And Katie, why is that so important?
I think that we can't fully enter into the kingdom of God unless we are living that life. And the importance of that is, what did Jesus teach us? You know, you mentioned the Beatitudes earlier, and that's part of it. We are part of his kingdom of heaven, and we must be wiped clean, and he does, but we must also change our lives. We must be people of change for the better, to serve God as disciples.
And a disciple is also to sit at the feet of Jesus.
And what word comes to mind when you think of disciple that also starts with a D, as in discipline, right? And why is it important to be disciplined to be a disciple, Katie?
Well, I guess it's all in the word. In discipleship and in discipline, we need to be strong in our faith. We need to know our faith. We need to know what God is asking. What are his instructions of how to live? And all of that, you know, everything we've talked about earlier, it's kind of spelled out in discipleship of him. And it's not just words. It's not just spreading the good news. And when you do say spreading the good news, it's not just the words. It's your actions and how you play it out. And you can't live in two worlds. We talk a lot about living in the world and living in the spirit. And you can't play both. You can't play for both teams. If you're not serving Jesus as a disciple, well, I think you know who you are serving, and that is not the road to heaven. That is not the road to the kingdom of heaven, at least.
And we know that when we follow God by being his disciples, that we're loving unconditionally. We're loving with all of our heart, soul, might, and strength. We're loving so much that basically everything we do is putting God at the center of it. So let's move from there into the next area, which is the O in kingdom, which stands for only. And what does that mean in terms of having the kingdom on earth, Marianne? To say that God needs to be the one thing, as they say, right?
My only, in a sense, focus. My focus should be only on the Lord. and that he is the one I go to first. He is the one I draw upon. Just making him the center of my life.
Amen. Amen. And, you know, as we get back again, talking about disciples and talking about the only thing, and, you know, John mentions this in John 13:34 and following, saying that I give you a new commandment, love one another as I've loved you, so you should also love one another. And going on, that says, this is how all will know that you're my disciples, if you have love for one another. And it's so important that when we put God first, then we are loving other people ahead of us. We're putting other people first in our hearts and minds.
It makes me think of the scripture, and maybe you can help me out, is my sheep know me and they know my name and they only follow that voice. And Jesus is our shepherd, but if we're disciples of Jesus, you need to be a good example when following Jesus. And then also the other sheep that are along with you will follow you. And you're young, the future of our church. You need to set that example of following Jesus and what that means through all that you do, through practicing your faith, practicing the sacraments, loving his people, being charitable, all that we've talked about today. And be the shepherd.
I think only also goes back to, you know, that I'm the scripture, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek only the kingdom of God, too, is that we focus on that.
And that's Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you. Besides, Katie's references out of John 10, in which Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. And I'm the gate for the sheep, and all who come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. And so again, that's relating to John 10:10, I've came that they may have life and life abundantly. So all of these things become extremely important as it relates to getting God's kingdom on earth, my brothers and sisters. The M in kingdom stands for mission. What is God calling us to do? 1 Corinthians 12:4, there's different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit. Different forms of service, but the same Lord. You see, what's important is the fact that each of us have a purpose, Marianne. Each of us have a purpose in life, and that purpose is to make a difference, to bring God's kingdom here on earth. And that's one of the things we try to do at Spirit-Filled Hearts. And I know that if you're involved at all or in the area over Labor Day weekend, we're going to ask that you come see us in Spirit-Filled Hearts by visiting Southern California Renewal Convention over Labor Day weekend. And what's the dates again, Katie?
September 4th, 5th, and 6th. It's a Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
And I will be speaking Friday afternoon at 2:30 and be involved throughout the weekend. You can come visit our booth. And putting God first in our life, having a special mission in terms of asking, what is it that God wants me to do? As you go to these various conventions like this, God often will come to you and tell you, this is the purpose that I want for you.
They have workshops, and what they've done for me is help me decide and discern what my mission is for the Lord by listening at the workshops and discovering where God is leading me.
And then we also have a prayer meeting at St. Elizabeth Ann Seton Church, 9 Hillgate in the city of Irvine on September 12th. And we'd love to pray over you too. And often what happens after we pray over people, that people get this wisdom from the Lord, a special charismatic gift of wisdom, in which they realize, hey, this is what God is calling me to do in life. So we certainly hope that you've enjoyed this understanding of what God wants us to do in bringing God's kingdom here on earth. The first point, again, was that we are children of God.
Kids of the kingdom.
Kids of the kingdom. The K was kids for the kingdom. The second is the instruction to be evangelists and to follow God's teachings through Scripture, through the catechism. The third is neighbors and understanding we are to take care of our neighbors. The fourth is to have that good attitude of gratitude and the gratitude of living out the Beatitudes. The next is that we are disciples of God's will and disciples of Jesus Christ, of doing His will on earth by loving other people unconditionally. The sixth is the only, which is to put God first in all that we do, no matter what we face with home, at work, whatever. And finally, to really understand that we have a mission and purpose in life. Heavenly Father, we thank You and we praise You. We thank You and praise You for all of our listeners. We ask, Lord God, that Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Fill their hearts with joy. The Beatitudes, Lord God, of really living out that good life, the fruits of Thy Spirit of love and joy and peace and patience and understanding. We ask for healing spiritually, mentally, emotionally, and physically. Fill them with Your love, Lord God. Fill them with their peace and that of all their loved ones. And I bless You through the power of the Holy Spirit, intercession of the Sacred Heart of Jesus and Immaculate Heart of Mary. In the name of Jesus, I bless You. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Go forth and live the gospel with great joy. We'll be back with you again next week at the same time. God bless you all.
We're thrilled that you joined us today on Empowered by the Spirit, right here on Immaculate Heart Radio. Empowered by the Spirit is a production of Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry. For more information about Spirit-Filled Hearts, visit our website, spiritfilledhearts.org. That's spiritfilledhearts.org. If you've been encouraged by what you've heard here on Empowered by the Spirit, contact us by email at empowered@spiritfilledhearts.org. That's empowered@spiritfilledhearts.org. We hope you'll tell a friend about our program and ask them to join us next week at this same time. We look forward to being with you again right here next week on Empowered by the Spirit on Immaculate Heart Radio. I'm a soul.